So I'm going to share just a few things. But before I do that, you know, I was in a conversation Thursday. I was delivering a dryer to a complex, and I ran into two older ladies, and one, I don't know, I guess at Menards, because, you know, I don't go around and saying I'm a pastor or anything like that. I am who I am. But at Menards, we had a guy that used to go to Faith Center, and he would always say hi to me, hi, pastor, this and that, and he would ask me how I'm doing, and I said, I'll be doing good, and I'll ask him how he's doing. And, you know, we use words out of season, out of times, and just things that we've learned. It's a custom thing to learn. And he would always respond back to me, I'm highly blessed and favored in the name of Jesus, in the name of the blood of Jesus. You know, and it's like, yeah, you know, every time I see him, this is what he would say. It's like, I hope you believe that, because if you do, your life will change, right? If we believe in the things that we really grasp and what Jesus is saying to us, nothing else but change will come, right? So, but yeah, so I was meeting these, I did this delivery, and so the one lady was asking me about church and where do we go to church, because she's looking, and so she started asking me what do we believe. And you know, the funny thing is, when we get into a corner, we say the same things that we've been learned to say, right? We believe in the infallible word of God. We believe that scripture is God breath. And it's like, I'm just rambling on. And it's like, which is good, right? That's what we believe. We believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit is still valid today, and they still move. You know, we believe these things. But it's so funny how I'm in a place of my life right now where God is shifting and he's shaking, but yet I default to the things that I've learned, right? It's like, I'm just curious. I was like, wow, not that this is bad. It's just, it's not where I'm at anymore. It's not where I'm at, because these things are true, but because I'm receiving them in and I'm asking God to show me what they look like, it takes on a different meaning than just, yeah, we believe in the infallible word of God. No, it becomes a part of me. It becomes who I am. So I wish you, and I told her we go to Eastgate, and then all of a sudden she's like, so what's your, what Bible do you read? I'm like, oh, there's so many. I said, there's so many I read. She's like, what about the King James? I said, yeah, I read that too. So she's like, is that your default? I'm like, no, not really. I read all of them. And as I read through them, some passages speak to me one way. The other passages make more sense to me the other way. She's like, well, if you don't read the King James, you should read the EVS or E, what's it? Yeah. ESV. I say, I've probably read that too. But you know what? I'm not going to quarrel about Scripture or about what I read. I love to connect. I love to build relationship. That's what I feel God is allowing me to do, is connect, build relationships, and go from there. Love. Love is the biggest part of what God is stirring up in me right now. And I feel like he says, if I can't love purely the one that he has allowed me to share, how can I love my brother or my sister, or how can I even love him? So it all refers back to love for me, and trying to talk through with this lady, and it's like, you know, I'm looking for a church, and I'm like, you're more than welcome to come. Then I wanted to go ahead and say, but we worship long. It's like, no, I don't have to do that. This is where God's, we are going after the heart of God. We're going after his presence. That's what it's about. In his presence, we will change. It might not look the way we think it does, but I believe that every one of us, every time we connect, every time we are in his presence, we do change, because we cannot, unless you come in with a heart that says, well, I'm just here to be just check off Sunday morning, you know. So that's just me. So this morning I just want to go through. I just want to share something with you guys, and you guys might have all your own understanding. You might have your own ideas, and you know what? You're powerful to do that. You are God created. You're powerful to think in a different way than I do. But if we are settled on Jesus and this is who he is, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter how we get to him through different thinking. If he is the main point, that's all that matters, right? I'm not saying there's other ways to him. I'm just saying you are powerful. He's created you powerfully to think different than what I think. And his revelation to you is different than the revelation he gives to me. But if he is the main focus and if he is the main point, that's all that matters. If everything that we think about or that we do points back to him, that's what matters. I want you guys to hear that. That's what matters. It doesn't matter. And this allows us to not become offended against one another. If we understand that we are powerful to think differently than another one, it's fine. You're okay. But the end result is Jesus, right? My way of thinking is not your way of thinking, because God says his way is higher than mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. So if we can understand that and not get offended by the way I think, and I'm sharing it with you, I'm not saying believe what I'm saying. I'm saying this is how I relate to him. This is what I feel like he is sharing with me. You know what? Go search it out yourself, because that's what we are supposed to do, right? We are supposed to take what we hear, and as we step into relationship with him, he's the one that will make it clear to us, right? But the end result will be the love for him. And that's why offense would not be able to stand. If we can get into that place where, you know what? Yeah, he has a different viewpoint on that. It's not wrong, it's not right. And I'm not going to try and push my rightness on his wrongness or my wrongness. You know, it's not about that. It's about growing together. So this morning I'm going to read Matthew 11. Nikki touched on, did you touch on that last week? About John the Baptist? But in any case, Matthew 11 talks about John the Baptist. And I'm going to read from verse, I'm going to read verse 2 and 3. 2 and 3, 4 and 5 and 6. That's what I'm going to read. So it says, John, meanwhile, had been locked up in prison. When he got wind of what Jesus was doing, he sent his own disciples to ask, "Are you the one we've been expecting? Or are we still waiting for somebody else?" That's, I'm saying the somebody else is my own paraphrase. Jesus told them, "Go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the wretched of the earth learned that God is on their side. Is this what you were expecting? Then count yourself most blessed." That's in the message. In the, this lady would love me with all these translations. In the Passion translations, it says, "Now while John the Baptizer was in prison, he heard about what Christ was doing among the people. So he sent his disciples to ask this question, 'Are you really the one prophesied who would come, or should we still wait for another?' Jesus answered them, 'Give John this report: the blind see again, the crippled walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised back to life, and the poor are broken now here. The poor and broken now hear of the hope of salvation. And then tell John the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith in me." Whoever you lose their faith in me, no matter what happens. And I love that last piece. and tell John that the blessing of heaven comes to those who never lose faith in me, no matter what happens. So, going back to John, Matthew 3 now, it talks about who John the Baptizer was. He was a rugged man in the desert, and he came to do what was prophesied for him to do. So actually, John was doing his job. John came and he spoke about repentance, and he baptized with water, right? So he stood firm in that. He stood firm in that. Even so, then when the Pharisees came to the Jordan River, he said, "You brood of vipers." Like, I mean, in today's language, I think it would be a different kind of verbiage put there, right? I'm not sure. But he stood on the truth. He stood on what John came to do. He stood on what he was presenting or what he had to do, right? Nothing persuaded him different. He came to do what he was doing, what he was sent to do. So here's where I want to go. So now John is in prison. So in the Jordan River, Jesus came and he was baptizing Jesus. But before that, he said, "No, I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus said, no, to fulfill what Scripture has said, we should do this. This is what we should do. And it took place. And then all of a sudden, the dove came and sat on the shoulder of Jesus, right? So, and then John was like, you know, follow him, don't follow me. You know, he's the one I've been spoken about, not me. Go with him, don't, you know. Now all of a sudden, John is in prison. And he's doubting. He's like, hang on, are you the one? Are you the one I was talking about? Or are we waiting for somebody else? Because surely I told them you were the one. Right? I gave my life. I stood up to a king and I told him the truth and he didn't like it, but here I am. I'm not in prison because, sorry for the, this is the only way. I'm not in prison because I got a meth lab at home or I am a drug addict or whatever. I'm not in prison for that. I am in prison because I stood up to a king and truth and he didn't like it. Right? So I was telling all these people about you and this, and now all of a sudden, here you are, and you're not doing what I ask you, or here you are doing what I thought you were going to do, you're not doing that. Because further in the Scripture, it talks about Matthew 3. Give me one second, yeah. This is what John's message was, the message of repentance. Repent, repent, repent of your sin, get baptized, because the one that's coming, I'm not. It says, even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to serve, to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He is ready. Here's what John believes. Repent. This is what's going to happen, because the one that is coming, this is what he's going to do. This is what I'm going to do, what he's going to do. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with a never-ending fire. This is what John believed. This is what John expected. John expected, and how many times do we expect? We get a word, we think we understand where we're heading, who we are, but we expect it to be this way, right? How many, if we are truly honest with ourselves, expect God to do it this way? And I'm standing firm because this is what I heard. I'm standing firm. I'm not saying there are times that that is good, but let me push it back. I expect God to move in a certain way, and I'm going to hold on to that until I see it happen. I expect it to happen this way, and we just expect it to be that way. You know, here is John in the prison. Now he's doubting. Are you the one? Because what I am actually seeing you doing or hearing you doing, you're not doing what I expect you to do. You know, who has had that moment where I expect God to do it. It's like we bring it back to us. I expect God to do it this way. He told me, but I expect him to move in this way. Here's John's expectation. Yes, John's expectation. He's going to come and he's going to bring up the chaff. He's going to gather them with his winnowing fork, and he's going to burn the chaff and, you know, store the barn house, and whatever's left over, he's going to burn with it. Never-ending fire. But the question is, if we are real with ourselves, how many times do we think, well, God, I thought you were going to. I thought you were going to. I'm bringing it back to me. I thought you were going to do it this way. And again, Scripture says, my way is higher than your way. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's what God says to us. So here's John and Nikki. I told Nikki this the other day. She's like, oh, that's goofy. But John was in a WTF moment. A WTF moment. Where's the fork? Where's the fire, God? Where's the fork? Where's the fire? WTF stands for a lot of other different words. But in this scenario, it stands for, where's the fork? Where's the fire? This is what I've been preaching, God. You were going to come and you were going to do this. You know, you are going to bring people to you, and those who are not standing with you, you're going to sort them out. But again, to reiterate, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than all our ways. So we all think this. We all think God is going to do something in this way or that way, right? So our expectation, the more we settle in that, our expectations on what God does instead who he is, our expectation on how he should do things, those are the things that leads us to disappointment, right? We get disappointed because we've been praying this prayer for so long. God has promised us these things and it hasn't come to fruition, but we get disappointed because, God, you said you were gonna. It's gonna look this way, God. I expected it to look this way. We've been holding on to it, but God's not showing up. So now we're in that place of our lives where we're in the WTF moment of life. You said you were going to do it this way, God. You said you were going to do it this way, but you're not. So I want to bring it back to John. If we can't understand John's expectation, we can't make sense of his disappointment, because now he's in prison and he even knew about Jesus and what to do in his mother's womb because he jumped for joy. Isn't that what Scripture tells us? When Mary and, what was his mom's name? Elizabeth and Mary came together, he jumped for joy. So he knew. It was prophesied. He knew what he was going to do. He stood and he did his job, what was prophesied over him. He did what he did. And he stood, and now all of a sudden he's in prison, and Jesus isn't doing what he thought Jesus was going to do. He said, are you the one we're still waiting on? But then Jesus turns around, because he sends disciples to go find out. But then Jesus turns around and tells his disciples to go tell John this. And he's quoting scripture. He's quoting the word of God, the prophesied word of God, Isaiah 61. I've come to set the captives free. He didn't say, I come to set the captives free. I want to read what he said here again. Matthew 11. Jesus told him to go back and tell him what you have heard and seen. He said, tell John, the blind see, the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God bless those who do not fall away because of me. The Passion Translation says, the Message. But in any case, he says, this is what I'm doing, and those who are not falling away with what is coming, those people are blessed, in my paraphrase. So we don't understand John. If we don't understand John's expectation, we can't make a sense of his disappointment, because he's in prison now, and he's in real prison. But the more I read it, John is in an invisible prison in his mind, because he is standing firm on what he's calling and what his job was. And there's no other room for God to move, because this is what I believe, and this is what I... So what made John a good prophet also got him in trouble, because he stood up against the king and he told him the truth, even though the king liked it or not. It wasn't that it wasn't true, it was true. So that got him in trouble and in prison. And I would like the story to have changed, and he would be able to come out of prison and the angel and he would got baptized and go on to do even more exploits for the Lord, but it didn't. His head got chopped off, right? So Jesus told his disciples to tell John this. What it is you are seeing is what I am fulfilling, what the prophet Isaiah said. But Jesus didn't say here that he is setting the captives free in that version or in that part, because John was seeing it naturally and not spiritually, meaning he didn't want to give John hope, saying that John was going to come out of prison and give him a sense of greater disappointment. He said, I am doing all these things, John. I am the one. Trust in me. It doesn't matter what your surroundings or what you're going through looks like. Trust in what you believe in me. So I just want to share that with you this morning. If I am... in a place where we have hidden, or where we have become or came into a hidden prison in our minds, you know, about the things of God. God, you said you were gonna. God, I expect you to do it this way. Give that to him. Give those things to him and allow him to do that new thing in you, to open your eyes, to open your heart, for him to do what it is he has come to do. Because his word says, I came to do what the Father has sent me to do. I've came to set the captives free, came to heal the sick. He's telling his disciples, go tell John, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing what I said I came to do. Because that's truth. Jesus came to do what he said he was going to do. So allow that to stir in your hearts today, this week, this month, from here on out, and to give God the things that we think or the things that we've made that God was going to do the way we thought he was going to do or the way we expected him to do. Let's give those things to the Lord and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust in you saying you came to do what you are going to do. Your ways are higher. Your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher. I'm going to focus on you, right? You are going to be the focus, and you will take me higher. You will take me deeper. You will take me further than where I am right now. My expectations, I'm giving to you, because the Lord uses disappointment to set us free. But the devil uses disappointment to kill, steal, and destroy our hope, our faith, all those things. So allow God to disappoint your mind, your way of thinking. Because if we can give that to him, he will give us far more than what we can imagine or desire. So I'm going to leave that with you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you are who you are. I thank you that we have eyes that can see. I thank you that we have ears that can hear. And I thank you that our hearts are able to receive the things that you are saying. Lord, I ask that you would bless each and every one here today. For those who aren't here, I pray a blessing over them. And I ask that you would keep them. For those who are not here because of illness or whatever, God, I just ask that you would touch them right now. That you would just release your peace and your joy in and through them. God, that your healing will be manifested in and through them. God, that there would be a great report. God, that there would be a great report. I ask, God, that you would just allow us, God, to know that we are powerful to think differently. But that we are powerful to God to not get offended by the things that we don't agree upon or the things that we don't, if we don't think the same, God. I thank you that we are powerful to not let things like that stand in the way of searching and pursuing you. Lord, we give you thanks for the things you are doing. We give you thanks for the things you've done, God. And we are excited for the step and for the season that you have us in right now, for the things yet to come. So, Lord, just continuously do what you are doing. God, you are the one that's pursuing and chasing. Just allow us to catch up and take a breath in you. In Jesus' name, amen.